Hi, everybody. Jimmy DeYoung. Welcome back to Prophecy Today. We now move into our second half hour. We've got three broadcast partners standing by. Dr. Rob Congdon is going to give us his European Union update in a moment. But first, let me tell you that we'll be here in Champaign, Illinois. That's where my temporary studios are located right now. And we'll be at the Faith Baptist Church. We're going to be here Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. A full-fledged prophecy conference in this area. Pastor Bob Hassel has invited us to come, and we're looking forward to being able to teach the prophetic word of God at a special time in history when seemingly things are unfolding, setting the stage for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. Now, Faith Baptist Church will be the location on Sunday, 9:30, and then 10:30 on Sunday morning, 6 o'clock Sunday evening, preceded by a prophecy Q&A, and then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday at 7 o'clock, preceded at 6 by another prophecy Q&A each night. Looking forward to having you come and join us. Don't dare miss the opportunity to understand what God is setting in place right now in this world in an amazing time when Bible prophecy seems to be right at the verge of being fulfilled. And one of the regions that we always look at to understand what God is doing in these the last days is the area of Europe, and in particular the European Union. Now, the man we do that with is Dr. Rob Congdon, lived there a number of years, goes back and teaches at different locations throughout the European Union almost on a yearly basis. Rob, let's get underway in my conversation with you. The commissioner, the head of the commission, the European Commission, has been able to address with his state of the nation, I guess we would call it, speech, what he sees as his vision for the European Union, and he sees a window of opportunity in the future, even with Brexit, in other words, with the United Kingdom pulling out. Talk to us about this speech that was made.
Well, it was a very significant speech by President Juncker. He outlined where he sees Europe going without the United Kingdom. He sees it as very positive. He says the wind is in their sails, and we're going that way. He brought up several key issues which we would see as being headed toward the empire that we view that the EU is. He wants to do away with the two different presidents of two different branches of the EU and have a single man over the EU. In his term, a one captain steering the ship. And obviously it was very clear he is the one to be the captain. This would be starting to alter the structure of what is already what's called a supranational government. This is unique in history. There's never been one like it. He wants to start pulling it all together. And really, a second aspect of this is he wants the person elected by all 27 nations of the EU. In other words, he's starting to get away from the sovereignty aspects of each of the individual nations, and he's creating a one union, an empire, if you will, through some of the changes he hopes to make and how they're organized.
Talk to me about this leader. Give me some background on why he should be elected as the one single leader of the European Union.
Well, right now there are three key branches, if you will, of the European Union. One is a non-elected body. That's the commission that he is president of. He's basically selected to be head of it. It's where the power really lies in the EU. The parliament, individual members are elected from their individual countries, and then they come together and they vote for their own president. Obviously, the commission holding the power really is the one that people look to. He thinks it's time to start, if you will, getting away from the parliamentary concept. In fact, he didn't quite advocate it, but I think it's hinted there that he'd like members of parliament just to be elected from anywhere in the entire European Union. Therefore, what he's zeroing in, and this is always crucial to understand, he's getting rid of individual nations. And he's trying to put the power in the hands of a few key leaders to govern all of the people of Europe. That's an empire, and that's exactly a characteristic that Daniel speaks of when he speaks of the final Reformed Roman Empire as being unique in history in its form. This man just is promoting that very movement right now. So he wants more power. He wants the power centered in this unique group of people who could care less about individual countries, but be sovereign over all the people of Europe.
And that passage that you're talking about there in Daniel chapter 7 also calls for the little horn, or a one-world leader, somewhat of a dictator. We know him as the Antichrist.
Yes, it does. And this is, you know, I think this is where we're headed. They've over and over said lately that 27 countries, 27 leaders, it's just too hard to govern. We've got to get to a smaller number. And that's what he's opening the door for now. He also wants to see non-European Union countries allowed into the euro currency. So that would give them financial control over more countries. So he's clearly steering it toward the empire that we envision from a prophetic standpoint.
Meanwhile, right there on the Ukrainian border at Belarus, Russia is putting together a major military exercise. Now, some people say, in fact, it was Russia that said they only have about 13,000 people, soldiers there, but their estimates much higher than that, up around 100,000. Talk to me about this threat.
Well, from the Russian viewpoint, they're afraid of NATO. NATO is bringing in more armed tank and armored equipment and bringing it close to the border of Russia. So Russia is reacting and creating this. Under agreements with other nations, they can only have 13,000 troops in that area. That's why the real concern is, because the general consensus is they brought in a lot more. This is very similar to an action they did before they reoccupied Crimea. So many are nervous about Russia. The Russians, likewise, are nervous about NATO. And so we have one of these situations, which I've pointed out many times, could easily, any spark could create a fire there in that region. Biblically, we still see Russia obtaining lands and being ready to come down to Israel. And again, I've pointed out many times, parts of Ukraine are part of that. So we're going to have to keep watching this closely. It is a very nervous weekend with these exercises beginning. And obviously, the need from Europe's standpoint is better protection against this growing Russian threat. And Juncker brought that up in his speech, too, about a military they need. So this is where it's all starting to pull together in that portion of the world that the Bible would seem to indicate is a significant area in end-time prophecy.
Does it seem possible, and are the Europeans, the European Union in particular, concerned that Russia may try to invade the Ukraine, take more property, more real estate, in addition to what they have there at Crimea?
The EU is worried because Ukraine is a major crossroads for some of the oil and natural gas pipelines, and they don't want Russia to have those back in their hands again. So they're concerned from an energy standpoint. And, of course, the nations that border the Ukraine are once again worried about Russia. Their memories are long. They remember what life was like under Russia. So they're nervous, naturally nervous. They're asking for more military strength themselves. So what we're seeing is a military buildup, and we're seeing that everybody's kind of on an edge, because they're each trying to show that they're in a position to protect their property.
And all of this, a part of a prophetic scenario that is found in God's Word. As I every time have to say, Rob and I talk with politics in mind first, and then prophecy secondly. Dr. Rob Congdon, the man who gives us our European Union update. Rob, thank you. Very informative information this time. Appreciate it. We'll talk again next week.
We'll look forward to it. Lord bless.